Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his followers, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my own joy may be in you and your joy be complete." The Gospel of the Lord. Today is the 1st and the 7th of May, which is an election day in the United Kingdom, election day for the whole of the United Kingdom, not just for part of it. And in the next few days there will be no doubt some arguments about who forms the government, since there are many parties standing. Campaigns aren't quite as long in the United Kingdom as they are in America, a couple of months usually, and the politicians, since they work for parties, aren't so concerned with fundraising or rallies. They just wander around the country, they appear everywhere, promising things. They haven't promised very much this time. Mostly they've warned us that if you don't vote for us, the other parties will get in and there'll be chaos. All the possible combinations will be terrible, apart from their combination. That's all they've really said. That's more like a warning than a promise. And they certainly haven't promised us joy. The gospel promises us joy, but I don't think any politician in Britain has ever really promised happiness of any sort. Because if you elect them, a little more prosperity, a little better organisation, a little easier life, but I don't think they've ever promised joy. Joy is just not in the remit of politics over here. Can't speak for the States. Yet Christ himself doesn't promise us simply joy. The joy he offers, he says, has to be complete. That implies that it isn't complete yet. And it's a joy that we have. However, it isn't joy that's caused by simply emotional well-being. The joy Christ promises is a thing, a reality, already, because it's his joy. It's the joy of the Trinity. There's a lot of theology that seems rather nervous at the thought of suggesting that God is happy. They worry about that because it implies God must be indifferent to the terrible sufferings and the appalling things that happen in our world. And certainly that's a theological problem. However, if God isn't happy, where is happiness to be found? If God himself hasn't triumphed over his own creation, then the creation is doomed. The only possibility of happiness, of joy, is in God. It has to be his joy. We share the joy of the Trinity. And that's why Christ separates his own joy from our joy. He says, "My own joy may be in you, and your joy be complete." Our joy is in accepting, finally, God's victory over suffering and evil. God's purpose. What we rather banally used to call the plan, primary school, God's plan, which you must say sounded suspiciously like the 5-year plans of the Soviet Union or local government's plans for education. Rather dull thing, that sort of idea of a plan. But it's not that. It's more purpose. It's mystery. It's wonder. It's baffling, unintelligible, and yet not unbelievable idea that one day we might become truly happy. Here in this life, our joy is never complete. We're never completely happy. We've never reached anything like even the happiness we might imagine as human happiness, let alone God's happiness. That's why all our life is lived in mystery. We're surrounded by the mystery of the possibility of joy. But we can have some sense of that joy. We can have some sense of peace at times when we're in a struggle just to be human, when things seem hard or baffling or unintelligible. We have those moments of peace, those moments of certainty. Joy is coming. The joy we feel now is not yet complete, but it will be. It can be. God has given us not just human happiness, but divine happiness, greater than we can imagine, greater than our hearts.